Our Agenda 25 Lake Oahe update, and Jake Davis, I believe, will be joining us for that update.
Yeah, good morning, Madam Chair. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Excellent. Let me share my screen. All right, can you see the presentation all right?
Yes.
Excellent. Well, again, good morning, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Roebling. My name is Jake Davis. I'm a Fisheries Program Administrator within the Aquatics section. And this morning, I'll try and cover this as briefly as possible. I know we're short on time, but we'll be covering a Lake Oahe update here with the Commission. Now, I was in front of this Commission in December talking about Lake Oahe, and really we were highlighting the excellent fishing opportunity that was going on this past fall, specifically establishing new state records for walleye within the state that both came out of Upper Lake Oahe in late October, again in November. And during that presentation, I mentioned a future presentation where we would share information from previous surveys and also plans for 2024 for Lake Oahe. And that's what I'm here today to do. So just to kind of cover briefly what we'll talk about today, want to cover public meetings that have occurred recently in the last couple of weeks. This is what we like to call our Tour Day Oahe, where staff gets on the road and provides information to the public on Lake Oahe and also some of the other Missouri River reservoirs. So I want to give an update, a summary of how those meetings went. Additionally, want to cover some recent stockings on Lake Oahe and then some current walleye trends. So this would be information from our standard lake surveys that happen on an annual basis. And then again, plans moving forward and what anglers can possibly see on Oahu this upcoming open water period that we're really not that far away from. So to just cover our public meetings very briefly, we held three in person this year. The first one being in Pierre, then we went out to Rapid City, and then a third in Mobridge. One thing I do want to mention is that in the past we've covered other parts of the state. This year with scheduling, these are the three that we were able to hold. But I do want to mention again that we did record the peer meeting, and that's up on the GFP YouTube page. So if there are any folks that weren't able to attend these meetings, they can certainly go on that YouTube page, find that the GFP channel, and then watch that recording of the peer meeting. And along with what I'm going to present today, that presentation will actually include some additional information on Lake Oahe, such as growth rates, some discussion on aquatic invasive species, also some user information, but then also have some information on Lake Sharp as well. So I do want to make sure that folks, if they weren't able to attend these three meetings, I want them to know that they can go on the YouTube page and watch a recording of the peer meeting. So just to cover Lake Oahe real quickly, we have two management zones, if you will, the upper and the lower. The reason that we do this is that these two zones really operate much differently than the other. So the upper zone is essentially going to be from the North Dakota border down to the 212 bridge, so that West Whitlocks area. That's the upper zone of Oahe. And then the lower zone of Lake Oahe would then be from the 212 bridge downstream to the Lake Oahe Dam there in Pierre. So when we talk about management of the system, it's going to really be specific to either the upper or the lower zone. And as I go through this presentation today, we're going to talk about certain management activities that happen in both of those. But to give you a little bit more information as why we break it up, it's really because they do, as I mentioned, function differently than each other. So the upper zone, when we talk about historical characteristics, we traditionally see higher abundance of fish, so more fish. We also see a smaller size structure, so they're generally smaller, so more fish, but smaller, but then good recruitment. What I mean by that is there's more consistently fish coming into that portion of the reservoir, coming into that population, from growing, essentially hatching, and then growing to become a harvestable fish within that system. When we look at Lower Oahe, it's going to be a little bit opposite, if you will. We see lower abundance, fewer numbers of fish. However, we see a larger size structure and then weaker recruitment. So fewer fish moving into that harvestable population, if you will. So again, the two zones that we talk about and as we go through this presentation can be specific to each one of those zones. One thing we always like to preface when we talk about Lake Oahe, and even though it was back in 2011, it is still something that is driving our management activities, would be the 2011 flood. I'm sure most people have heard us talk about the 2011 flood, what it did to our walleye population in Oahe. But essentially, we had large quantities of water move through that system. It essentially collapsed our prey base by flushing our rainbow smelt through Oahe Dam, and it had profound impacts on the walleye population. our condition. So the plumpness of a fish and the growth rates just, they plummeted. So what that did was we saw really poor walleye abundance, some of the lowest abundances that we've ever seen in Lake Oahe following that 2011 flood. And it did impact our recreational fishery for a number of years. So what did we do to combat those trends? We stocked fish. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about some of that historic back after the 2011 flood, the management, and what that's meant for our population since then. So I said we stocked fish. Did we stock walleye? No, we did not. We stocked gizzard shad. The reason that we stocked gizzard shad is, as I mentioned, that flood collapsed our prey base. So what we did was we stocked fish for walleye to eat. The reason that we stocked gizzard shad is one of the reasons is that we could get our hands on them through trap and transfer, essentially taking them from one water body outside of Oahe and then moving them to Lake Oahe. And then the big reason is that when we stock these shad, it's in the spring. They haven't spawned yet. We'd be calling them pre-spawn adults. The goal would be that we stock them in and then they spawn. And gizzard shad are prolific spawners. They're excellent at creating more shad, small shad, which are a great prey resource for walleye. So as you can see here, some of these numbers aren't that high. Several hundred fish. Well, that may not sound like a lot, but the reproductive potential that pre-spawn gizzard shad have, even those numbers can provide substantial forage basis for our fish. So you can see these marks here on the map where we stocked those gizzard shad over the years. A lot of those were focused again on the lower end of Oahe because that's where we saw the most profound effects of that 2011 flood. That's where our abundance and prey resources were really hit the hardest. So we stocked gizzard shad, not quite every year, but a number of those years. Following that, when we felt like we had a prey base that was recovering and we're able to start stocking some walleye into the system, that's what we began doing. And again, we started focusing on the lower end where the impacts of those floods, that flooding event was most impacted. We started in 2017, basically stocked every year except for COVID. And you can see the numbers there, both fry and small fingerlings. And again, the majority of those stockings were occurring on the lower end of Oahe where we felt needed the most attention. So we stocked forage, we stocked walleye. What did we see happen to our walleye population? Well, what I'm going to show you now is the results of some of our standard lake surveys. This is where staff goes out on an annual basis, sets nets. It's a way that we can track relative abundance of our walleye population. And what we are looking for is long-term trends within the data. So what you have in front of you here is 7 years worth of data. You've got years on the x-axis, number of fish on the y-axis. We break it down into three length categories. So the tan portion of the bar is going to be walleyes that are 10 to 15 inches long. The yellow or gold is going to be that 15 to 20 inch mark. And then the purple is going to be fish over 20 inches. So you can see that starting in 2017, and then moving to 2023, the last couple of years, 2022 and 2023, we've seen higher than average walleye catches. And in fact, in 2023, we saw our highest in the last 7 years. We also have a good number of walleye that are in that 15 to 20 inch range. In a lot of cases, that's when we see our anglers really like to target and harvest that size category within the length distribution. So to see that in our survey data in 2023 was very encouraging. Now to break that down a little bit more within just the year 2023, I'm going to show you a length frequency histogram. So essentially, this is going to be the more specific length categories of walleye that are in that 2023 survey. That yellow bar in the middle is going to be the 15-inch mark. And so just to put that in reference, those fish to the right of it are going to be over 15 inches. And from that previous graph, if you remember, there were a lot of fish in that 15 to 19-inch range. And you can see that here with those good bars that are to the right of that 15-inch mark. Now, the positive thing for us is that we see a pretty good distribution of lengths here. We see some younger age classes also moving up towards that 15-inch mark. So that tells us that we've got recruitment going on in the system. So again, very positive information as we look at Lake Oahe from our 2023 survey. To break it down a little bit more to talk about condition, what I mean by condition is going to be the plumpness of a fish. So if you have a walleye of a certain length, it should weigh a certain amount, and we can put a number on that. What you see in the red dash line, that box, is a condition index of 80 to 90. We would consider that our goal to have fish within that relative weight, that condition range. That tells us that they're in good shape. One reason, and one way to maybe highlight this is if you look, the year is going to be on the x-axis. When you look at 2012 to 2013, you can see those three categories drop below that 80 mark for our condition. Well, that's a result of the 2011 flood. Our condition collapsed. Fish were in very poor shape. Essentially, they were swimming heads out there. What we've seen since that in all three of those categories following that and following some of our shad stockings, those condition values have recovered. We've also seen an increase in some of our prey resources that are out there as far as rainbow smelt and lake herring, and that's helped as well. Looking at our condition numbers in 22 and 23, we're right in the range that we'd like to see. We're in that 85 to 90 range for relative weight, and we're very happy with that. So that's what we saw on the lower end of Lake Oahe. In the last few years, we've seen increase in abundance, improving growth, stable condition, all good things. So what does that mean for upper Lake Oahe? Again, we spent a number of years working on the lower portion. Now we're looking at upper Lake Oahe. So last year, 2023, our plan was to stock it. So we're going to provide some information on what happened last year on it. As far as walleye stockings, it was a big year. We've never stocked that many fish in Oahe, but we stocked 3.7 million fingerlings. As you can see by the locations here on the map on the right portion of the slide, the majority of those did occur on the upper portion of Oahe, north or upstream of the 212 bridge. But again, 3.7 million fingerling stocks, so our biggest stocking to date on Oahe. As far as gizzard shad, again, focusing on the upper portion, we stocked over 1,500s. Again, another record as far as stocking forage fish in Oahe. That reproductive potential that they hold, even in stocking just four locations, can have large impacts because of how prolific of spawners that they are. So again, upper Lake Oahe last year stocked heavily with both small fingerling walleyes and gizzard shad. So what do we see in the nets in upper Lake Oahe in 2023? Well, what we saw were the highest catch rates in 7 years, very positive for us. Saw a lot of fish in that 15 to 20 inch range, and even more so in that 10 to 15 inch range, and you'll see that here in the next slide. We certainly had some fish over 20 inches, but I will say that it is hard to sample those fish. So we know that there's a lot of fish over 20 inches in the upper portion of Lake Oahe and Lake Oahe in general. We saw that this fall from those large catches of large adult walleye, but in a number of cases, we don't always sample them the best. But again, looking here, the big take home from this is that we saw the highest catch rates that we have in 7 years in our standard gill nets. Looking at the length frequency histogram, again, this is going to be the breakdown in sizes of the fish that were caught in 2023 in the upper portion of Oahe, with that yellow bar being 15 inches again. We have a lot of fish that are over 15 in that 15 to 20 inch range. But really what we see here is a lot of fish bumping right up to that 15 inch mark. One thing I want to mention is that this data was from last fall, where there's still a portion of the growing season left. Additionally, those fish are going to start moving past that 15 inch mark this summer if they haven't already. So we're expecting that there's going to be a lot of fish over 15 inches in the upper portion of Lake Oahe. Looking at our condition, very similar to the lower portion, we see that deep decline in 2012. It has recovered and it's stabilized. And in 2022 and 2023, we're seeing condition rates right in that range that we'd like to for stable condition rates and what we would consider to be a fairly healthy population. So just a summary, and then I'm going to talk about what our plans are for this year. But in both cases, for upper and lower Oahe, highest walleye catch rates for both of those management areas in the last 7 years. We've got a lot of fish that are either 15 to 20 or just about to be coming 15 to 20 based on where they are with their length last fall. And then additionally, our condition is good and it's stable and our growth rates are improving. And again, we know that there's some large fish in the system. We've seen them over the last couple of years during our walleye spawning operations. And then it really was highlighted this fall with those fantastic fishing conditions where we just heard story after story of anglers really encountering the fish of a lifetime, and then to have a record that it stood for over two decades fall twice within a matter of weeks was really something to see. Just some large fish out there in the system. So what's the plan for 2024? We will be stocking again. This year, we will be focusing a lot on the upper portion, but we're going to have stockings throughout the reservoir. As far as gizzard shad go, the goal is 1,750. Now, this is variable because we do have to rely on catch rates from other systems. We don't raise these fish at a hatchery, so it is somewhat dependent on what we can get out and find in other systems. But the goal is to stock 250 at the sites that are listed there. Additionally, our walleye stockings, our goal is to stock 2.7 million fingerlings, with goals being at 450 per site from Peoria all the way up to Sutton Bay. So again, those are our stocking plans for this year. Standard sampling will occur as normal, where staff will get out in late summer, early fall to conduct their annual netting surveys. But with that, I just wanted to provide the information on what we've seen the last couple of years and what we have planned for 2024. With that, I'm happy to take any questions. And again, just want to highlight real quick that if folks have more questions or desire to see some additional information, please look at that recorded video on the YouTube page because it will have more information than what was shared just now. So with that, I would take any questions.
Very good. Thank you, Jake. Any questions for Jake or comments? Commissioner Locken.
Yes, Commissioner Locken here. Jake, where do we consider that we're at with smelt right now? Are we kind of going away from smelt, or have they rebuilt their population on their own, or what do we consider on that?
Sure. Through the chair?
Yes, please.
All right. And Senator Locken, I will share my screen again because that was the last slide that was in there just in case this question came up. And can you see the cold water prey fish slide there?
Yes.
All right. So this is going to be our smelt and Cisco herring numbers. And so you can see in 2020 or 2012 and 2013, specifically for the smelt, those numbers were incredibly low, basically collapsed. They have begun to rebound. Our 2023 numbers are in there. They were a little bit lower than 22, but they are starting to rebound certainly since the flood. When we look at Cisco, their numbers have increased, and we had really high abundance in 2022, pretty good numbers in 2023. But when you combine these forage options, they have certainly rebounded and are in a much better spot than they were in the couple years following the 2011 flood. But we do continue to monitor this population on an annual basis, and we do see that they certainly do contribute to the growth and condition of our walleye population. The nice thing is that between gizzard shad and then this cold water prey, gizzard shad are great at growing walleye to about 16, 17 inches. And then Cisco and rainbow smelt are really good at getting them past that point and growing them to really large sizes. So the combination of gizzard shad and then Cisco rainbow smelt, it's an excellent combination to get walleye to 17 inches, and then they can switch to that cold water prey and get them beyond that. So we do think that that combination is really what's driving some of these exceptionally large walleye that we're seeing in the system right now.
Any additional questions or comments? Secretary Roebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Great presentation, Jake. And I just want to give a shout out to all the fishery staff and all their work on this reservoir and all the reservoirs across the state and all the different lakes and streams for that matter. Question I have for you, Jake, is what is the, I would say average length of time it takes to grow a 15-inch walleye in upper and lower Lake Oahe? I mean, is it 3 years? Is it 2 years? How long does it take for that walleye to reach that magical 15-inch mark?
Yeah, through the chair.
Yes.
Yeah, Secretary Roman, it's a good question. We use this as a benchmark across the state. When we look at our walleye regulation toolbox, we would consider fast growth to have a walleye get to 15 inches in, say, 4 years. In some cases, we see that much sooner than that. Right now on Oahe, and again, that other presentation is going to have more specific growth information on it, but we're not quite at the growth rates that we think we can get to. But again, when we see walleye at 15 inches that are 3 or 4 years old, we're generally fairly happy with that. It's walleye that are 5 inches, or excuse me, 5 years or older at 15 inches that we get concerned and consider that a very slow growth rate.
Very good. Thank you. Seeing nothing else, Jake, thank you for that presentation. Job well done.
Thank you.